over the sea. I want to talk tonight. My topic is, of course, the purpose for, it said, in existence. And I'm looking at purpose for existence. And so when we look at the God's sovereignty and our purpose, I want us to see that I always like to talk about my Father first, because he's the creator and he created all of us. And there's nothing that excites me more and gets me more emotional than to talk about my Father and what he's done, not only for us, but even for me and my wife and my family. And so, you just excuse me, you know, my wife tells me, you know, as you've gotten older, you get so emotional. And I think that's what comes with the territory. But I want us to, my brothers will work with me. We want to go to the next slide. I want us to see here that the question is, where did you and I come from? And the point is that we all came from Eve. Now, at first, you know, we think we came from Adam, but God only went to the dirt one time, and that's when he made Adam. Everybody else came from the rib, and so we all came from Eve. Eve is the mother of all generations. All right, so that's where we came from. So when you go and look, you know, and find out, well, send in this form, your swab and so forth, they may take you up to the flood, but you got to go back past the flood, and you got to get to Adam and Eve. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention in case you're using your money on that. Just go to the Bible, because see, all life came from Eve, the woman. Next slide. I want us to see here that life consists of relationships. There's a vertical relationship, our relationship toward God, and then there's a horizontal relationship, our relationship with our fellow man. And so we got to try to find out, what is our purpose for existence? And then we look at our relationships, because life consists of relationships. Relationships, we're going to see two types of relationships. The relationship that ignored God and a relationship that obeyed God. And the relationship that ignored God and this person, this king, did it in order to test darkness, the kingdom of darkness. You know, when sin came into the world, the kingdom of darkness was entered in, because it was kingdom of light. But then kingdom of darkness with Satan came into the world. You'll find that in passages where it says that we've been translated in Christ from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Okay, so now, and I'm trying to be informational, but quick, but not too fast. Now, freedom. This is a king speaking to a younger king. This is King David speaking to King Solomon. And he's telling him, David on his deathbed, he's telling him, now be careful, because we have a tendency that we want to be free from accountability. We want to reject the admonition from our fathers. You know, children rebel sometimes. And so here's a king who rejected the admonition from a father, who ignored the God of creation, disobeying the source of all life, and the one who in whom we live, we move, and have our very being. King David was a man after God's own heart, but he did disobey. And so he's telling his son now in 1 Kings 2 and 3, and if you are Bereans, I hope you have your Bibles, so you can check to see what I'm saying is so, okay? Because I may not have time to go through all the scriptures. But anyway, in 1 Kings 2 and 3, he said, now carefully obey all the commandments of the Lord your God. Carefully obey all his laws, commands, decisions, and agreements. Obey everything that is written in the law of Moses. If you do this, you will be successful in whatever you do, and whatever you do, and wherever you go. Now, what was he telling him? He was a father that was talking to his son like God the Father was talking to Adam when he gave him the four C's. Some of y'all are familiar with the four C's, but I'll refresh your mind if you're not. The first C is coming from the source, which is the creator. The second C is the commands that he gives. Can you hear King David telling his son, now you obey the commands. And then he tells, like a good father, and God the Father told Adam. He told him about the consequences. The day you eat of this, you will surely die. He's telling his son, look, if you obey and do everything that's written in the law of Moses, guess what? You'll be successful. But if you don't, if you disobey, the opposite happens. You won't be successful, okay? And so what is the three C's I said? Creator, command, consequences. And what's the last C? You and I have a choice whether to obey or disobey. And that's what we're learning here. And the principle in the New Testament is, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that will he also reap. And that's Galatians, the sixth chapter, verses 7 and 8. And so let me go to the next slide. So let me ask you these questions. Why are you here at this time? And why now? What are you here? What are you here for? And for how long are you going to be here? What is your purpose for existence? Now, I want you to write on the tablet of your mind or a piece of paper what you believe your purpose for existence is, and see when we get to the end of the lesson if we agree, okay? Next slide. Okay, Solomon, going to test the kingdom of darkness. I mean, he did everything. When you look at Kings and 2 Kings and 1 Kings, you'll see, but you'll see that he did everything. And all through Ecclesiastes, he'll talk about it as a teacher. He'll talk about the things that he has done. And then he'll talk about the fact that even towards the end, all the concubines, all the wives, caused him to go astray and worship the idol gods and so forth, the other gods, but not the true God. He didn't listen to his father. And so what he was doing, he was looking for happiness in all the wrong places. And so the Bible would teach us, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. In other words, do you know where you are going? Do you know how you're going to get there? Who told you the way? And have you traveled this way before? There's only one person that I know of, and we'll get to him later, who told us, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And where is happiness found? In him. He says, if you want to get to the Father, come by me. And guess what? You'll find, what did he say in John 10:10? I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The happiness of life, what life is truly about. Next slide. Solomon's test results. I'm just going to hit those briefly. A life without God is meaningless. The world offers three things that are meaningless: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, pride of life. You'll find that in 1 John, the second chapter, around 15, 16. Loving of the world. And so all, and what he said was, all is vanity. It's like a vapor. You know, I was looking on the YouTube, and I saw where it had the 100 most influential people, and the names. I looked at the list of the names, and I knew a lot of those names. But then I looked for... they had LeBron James in sports, but I looked for Michael Jordan, and his time had passed. See, he no longer was in that group, and he should have been in that group. But over time, see, you're only a breath, And people will remember you for a while, but by the second or third generation, you're just a vapor. All right, anyway, I got to keep moving. So what we see here is that he said, all that is of this world will pass away. Nothing is permanent. The results, and then the results of the self-centered, earthly-minded lifestyle. I'm going to talk about that briefly. We are in this body, and Corinthians talks about this body being a tent that we're in. You know, we're renting this house, and the lease is going to be up one day, and that's what death is about. Death is going to claim us. But not only that, when death claims us, we got to move. We got to move from time into eternity. And so we'll be put in a grave. Back to the dust, this body go back to the dust of the earth. So the question is, where are you going, or what was your choice in time? See, we know our Father, we know what he's commanded, but we also know the consequences, and we are left with choices. And so what was your choice in time? Why? Because there's an appointment that each one of us got to make. And that appointment is found in Hebrews 9 and 27, where it says that it is appointed unto man once to die, the physical death, the separation from this world. And then comes the judgment, accountability. What did you do with your life? What choices did you make? Did you obey the Father? Did you follow a life that was dealing with self and just making yourself feel good, making yourself receive things, forgetting about people, but always on others? No, on self. Anyway, there's what was happening is a life like that, a self-centered, earthly-minded lifestyle that Solomon talks about as a teacher and as one who had exposure and experience, is a life of rejection. You reject what God has to say. You live a life of ignorance. One of the biggest enemies of man is ignorance, not knowing or ignoring what you should be doing and knowing. And so not only that, unbelief, not believing what the source, our Father, is teaching us through life, through exposure of the world, and through his word. Next slide. You see, we're talking about relationships, and Solomon was showing us about the vertical relationship. Relationship with God, and the life without that is meaningless. And so on the next slide, we see the purpose of the Old Testament for the Christians. Christians use the Old Testament record of the events of the people's lives, the nations of Israel, other nations, is for the purpose of knowing how God worked in history. These things were recorded for our admonition, for our understanding. Just think, if we go through life and don't study the word, we're missing out on a lot of good teaching about life and instructions on where we're going, how we're going to get there, who's going to take us, because we don't know the way. It's not in man to direct his steps. And so in Romans 15 and 4, the Bible says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Those things were written so that we could have hope. And that hope comes from patience and encouragement that's from the scriptures. Okay, I was making sure I'm on. Then in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 through 13, He says basically the same thing. But in verse 13, there has no temptation taken you but such as man can bear. Don't say, I just couldn't stand it anymore. Lord, I tried to do what you asked me to do. But life is hard. Yeah, life is hard. Jesus knows that life was hard. But yet, he did something. He taught us something. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. You see, there's no temptation taking you to you that such as man can bear, but can I bear? But God is faithful. I'm talking about the source, who will not suffer you or I to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Brothers, sisters, whatever you're going through in life, learn to be patient and learn this one principle from the Bible. In Romans 8, around the last verse or so, everything that's going on with God and us, he's working it together for our good. If suffering is only for a little while, disease hits your body, it's only for a little while. But I'm going to tell you how to handle stuff in a little bit. When I get to the king that obeyed God. But see, we're finishing up with the king that tested the kingdom of darkness. We learned some lessons from him. And that is that the Old Testament is there for our learning. And the New Testament teaches us that we as Christians are no longer under the Sinai law. That law of the Old Testament was given to the children of Israel. But everybody all through the Old Testament were under some form of law. And so, but the point here is that we're no longer under law. We're under grace and truth. In Colossians 2, especially in verse 14, the Bible will say, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, he had taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Who did that? Who did that? Next slide. We're going to find that the person who did that is the king that obeyed God in order to fulfill God's purpose for his life in God's kingdom of light. And so what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes, I'm going to go through the introduction of this king, the birth of this king, the youth of this king, the father acknowledging his son, the king, the ministry of this king, and the lessons to be learned from this king. We're going to talk about vertical relationship of this king. Next slide. In introducing this king, we're going to see that in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that had been made. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. Then we see in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God, Elohim, Him, plural, Father, God the Word, God the Holy Spirit, one, always one. We find in Colossians 1:16, not only in creation, we find that through his power, Christ, all things were made, things in heaven, things on earth, seen and unseen, All spiritual rulers, lords, powers, and authorities, everything was made through him and for him. Colossians 1:16. He created, they made everything, the word, seen and unseen. You know what? Let me take a pause for a minute. You know what? Growing up, I used to be scared to go down in our basement because as a child, I thought about ghosts and goblins and so forth. As I grew up, I could go down the basement when I went over my father's house, but I was still scared going in the dark. But when I read this passage, he created it, and guess what? He's in control. And I don't have to worry. I could tell you something about how, but no, I'm sorry. I don't want to digress. I got to keep moving. But don't fear anything. Fear God and keep his commandments. All right. That's what Solomon said, and that's what we need to do. Okay. Let's go to the next slide. We're going to look at the birth of the king. The birth of the king. You know, when you read this, you just think how the Holy Spirit incubated, got into Mary, but how the king worked in the seed. When you think about how the word became flesh and dwelt among us, I want to read from Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, but also that he might receive, that we might receive the adoption of the son, not only those under the law, but also those who come after. He nailed the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, and all of that to the cross, all that come under the new law, the New Testament. See? He came, and that's God working and God concerned about his creation. You and I, men and women, children, God is concerned about all of us. And what we're going to see with the mother Mary and the father Joseph, we're going to see, learn something about them as a parent. But in Matthew 1:21, it said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. No one else. No one else is coming into this world to save us from sin. It's Jesus. And then in verse 23, it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Why would God go through all that trouble for us unless he loved us? And that's a strong love, to love us who he knew before the foundation of the world we were going to sin. We were going to reject him. And we still reject him. And some of us still don't believe in him. And still, some of us ignore him. Because we don't study like we should. We ignore him. We'll pick him up when we think we need him. But his love is always there for us. In other words, don't give up on yourself, because God never gives up on you. As long as you have breath in your body, you have opportunity. But let me move on. In Luke the second chapter, verse 10, and the angel told them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." He was already a king. They just didn't know it. "Who is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men on whom he is well pleased." Next slide. Got to move a little faster here. We're going to look at the youth of the king. See, he had some good parents. Because why? Because every year they would return to Jerusalem. And going there every year, when Jesus was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, and this is Luke, the second chapter, starting at verse 41. But then what we find is that when he was 12 years old, then he went. It was the custom of the family, the tradition of the people to go. Parents, what traditions do we have for our kids to let them know how important God is and his work in your life and his work in their life? Let them know how important they are to God. So he was left there, and when they came back, they thought he was with them. And when they found him, he told them, he said, "Didn't you know?" Now, depending on which version you read, I'll do both of them. "Did you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" Then other versions say, "Didn't you know that I had to be about my Father's house?" Business. See. Understanding his purpose in kingdom business. Jesus understood his purpose was kingdom business. And so, next slide. And so when we find in John 3, verses 13 through 17, we're going to see about the baptism of Jesus. And we're going to see that the vertical relationship that he had with his Father, but also the vertical relationship that we're supposed to have with the Father through him. You see, when we look at this, meeting the Father of this king, Jesus, he fulfilled all righteousness. He was baptized by John the Baptist. First thing first. He got that done. And it was a ministry of selfless love for God the Father. And also sacrificial love for mankind. I want us to see that what we were doing was both the vertical and the horizontal. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? He gave us examples of the three P's: prayer, preparation, participation. Then I see now, I'm going to have to run. Prayer, preparation, and participation. He said, prayer. When you study Jesus, before he did anything, especially anything that was important, he would pray. And when he prayed, prayer, the results of prayer was the fruit. And see, when we pray and pray without doubting, the results is going to be fruit. Why do I say that? Because in John 15, 4, 7, and 8, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, So neither can ye except ye abide in me. If you abide in me, condition, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. Do you believe when you pray? Do you believe God can answer your prayer? Is your prayer a selfish prayer or is it an unselfish prayer? When you're sick, do you pray for health so you can get better and go to work and just be all right? Or do you say, I want to get better so I can better serve you vertically and my fellow man horizontally? Fruit, prayer, results, and then preparation. You see, in prayer, it helped prepare him for what's coming up next. Prayer is study habits. See, he had a relationship with his father. He talked with his father. Jesus was the word, became flesh. We have to study the word, prepare ourselves, and preparation, when you get down in the word, you are finding out more and more truths. And when you find a truth, the truth sets you free. You're not in any bondage to man anymore. You belong to God and you serve God. Yes, sir. But you encourage, you help your fellow man. But anyway, I got to move. We don't have a part two. And then by love, participation. You see, prayer and preparation was this vertical relationship, but participation is the horizontal. Participation by love. See, what he's telling us, you know, your fruit tells people that you're my disciple, and your study habits, you study the word, continue my word, you'll be my disciple. But the love, I'm telling you, now you love like I have shown you. In other words, love is not just words. Love is participation, action, action that's going on. James tells us you don't just love in word, you got to love in word and deed. Let's go to the next slide. He fasted for 40 days, prayed. You know he prayed in those 40 days. And so now he's being tempted. The king that obeyed God, but he was tested by the kingdom of darkness. He didn't test the kingdom of darkness. He was tested by the kingdom of darkness. 40 days he was tested. And guess what? Temptation is never the problem of mankind. The problem of mankind is how will you handle your temptations? Let us look at the author and finisher of our faith. The priority in life has always been, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all the things that you want will be added unto you. But your priority must be right. And then temptation of this world will only provide temporary results and then there's separation. What do you mean by that? We all got to leave here one day. So whatever you enjoyed here, you're going to leave it. Or if you're young and I like looking at you, when you get old, some people have that problem, Ben. But love takes young, old. We grow old, we got young together, we grow old together. Okay. Give me, I'm almost there. Our next example, our obedient example of purpose. Here we go. Kingdom culture. Ephesians 2:10. The Bible tells us, for we are his. Who's his? God's workmanship. God worked on us. Went down in the water and God worked on us. He created us in Christ Jesus. I want to see that God is the vertical. He's the source. And he created us in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the location of his work. And Christ Jesus becomes our mentor and our example. Why do I say that? Because he created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What do you mean by that? Horizontally, we are prepared for good works. That's our purpose, expectation from God, good works. Not to be saved. We were created for good works, not by good works. And he says, and God prepared for us to walk in them. What does that tell me? Ben, that tells me I'm prepared, created for good works. And guess what? I don't have to find the good works. He prepared where I'm going to walk. So in other words, Ben, he gave me and gives you every day opportunities for good works. We just have to see what God is doing. Help us, Lord, when I wake up this morning, show me. Go to the next slide. Next slide, we see Jesus, our example of kingdom culture, doing good to others. Be doers of the word. We, you know, sometimes people say, well, Brother Christopher, you know, missions isn't my thing. Going overseas is not my thing. But, you know, I can stay here and make a contribution. And some of us, excuse me, we might complain on the different ministries. Why don't everybody work in the same ministry? 1 Corinthians 12:12, by one spirit we've been baptized in one body. Yes, we have. Okay? But guess what? That one body consists of many members. And everybody's not a foot. Everybody's not a hand. And so I go to Africa. That's my passion. That's the work, the good work that God has given me. But somebody here is in the pillow ministry. Somebody here is in the feeding ministry. Somebody here is in the clothing ministry. Somebody here is in the evangelism ministry. Good works, but not all of us are doing the same. But we're working the opportunities that God has given us. Don't miss your opportunity to do good. That's what he gave us. Christ is our mentor, and we're just going to follow him. I don't have a lot of time, so next slide. I want you to see something. You see that time that, you know, when you run, those of you who are coaches and so forth, have children, and you know that clock. What is that clock? It has a start when you start the race, and it has it when you finish. And guess what? You got all types of runners. You got sprinters. You got long distance people. You got those who run by themselves, those who run in teams and groups. That's what you have. And see, when you and I stepped into time, our race begun and the clock started. We are in a body with many members worldwide. The question is, what are you in this race? Are you a sprinter? You're long distance? You run by yourself? You're running in groups? Well, that's when I go to the next page. We're going to try to answer that, well, eventually. It's not what are you in the race, but where are you in the race? And only time will tell. Next slide. Our race is against time and death. You see, you know some people in your lifetime who were sprinters. They were here, they were born. Some left us at birth. Some left us at teenagers. And some made it to 70, and if by reason of strength, 80. The long distance runners were over 80, praise the Lord. I think I'm over, I'm close. But, and then the long distance runners, those were the long live, God has blessed their lives. But then there's the relay teams. You know, the sad part is that sometimes death don't just claim one person at a time, it claims groups. And so it gets those multiple deaths through wars and major accidents and those crazy bombers are going to bomb a lot of people, and even disease like Ebola and so forth. And so that happens. And then, but the prize we seek is life eternal in a home prepared by Jesus with our name on the room. On the room. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, then, let me finish it. I'm doing good, man. I'm going to finish this and wrap up. Next slide. Next slide says, Jesus was an example to the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Samaritans. What does that tell us? God is no respecter of person, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable unto him. So life in Christ is about relationships, and your purpose for existence is good works prepared for you by God. God's got good works for every one of you. If you're in the body of Christ, he's got a job for you, because you're either a hand, foot, finger, chest, whatever in the body. The whole point is that opportunity to do good by God. God will show you opportunities. He gives each and every one of us who've been created a passion in this world. He gives us a purpose. He doesn't just make you and just throw you out there and say, go for yourself. He's given all of us a reason for living in him. That's the key. Everything is happening in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're missing out on your purpose for existence. Last slide. The judgment fruit. There's going to be a time of inspection. A time when he calls us all together. Well, we'll come at different stages. When you read your Bible, it's appointed unto man once to die, after this comes the judgment. We come in. There's going to be believers. And those believers, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. That's going to be the opportunities that he gives us. The passion that you have. Don't neglect your passion. Job is what you do every day to get your bread, survive, and all that. But your work in Jesus is your passion. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then it says in Revelations 14 and 13, I heard the voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor, for their works follow them. We're not talking about a checklist of I did this, this, this. No, that's legalism. He's talking about works that I've given you, opportunities, and you took advantage of them, and you did them not to be saved, but because we are saved, and because we have that relationship, that vertical relationship that causes us to have that horizontal relationship with one another, and we treat everybody with love, because our Father is love. Then these are the believers, but then the unbelievers are those who know not God and have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The unbelievers are the ones that are going to show up and say, Lord, didn't I do? And they're going to talk about what they did, but not the will of the Father. Jesus said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? You can't be about his business if you don't know him. So I want to give you an opportunity to know him. First things first, Jesus was baptized. Guess what? We have to share in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And then when we do that, according to Romans 6, 3 through 6, we see that we must die to ourselves. Then we must be buried with Christ. And then we come up out of the water, new creatures in Christ, and God has performed an operation on us and makes us new creatures. And guess what? And now, according to Ephesians 2:10, we become his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for every good work. You want a life with a relationship with the source, and that's God the Father. Don't rebel and reject the source of protection, the source of provision, the source of health, the source of love, the source of all that you can think of that's good, but also the source that tells us our purpose for existence. Thank you so much. If anybody wants to respond to becoming a child of God, take this opportunity. Become a child of God. The water is ready. All we ask is that you come and commit yourself. We'll ask you, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And if you make that confession, you believe and you want to commit yourself to him, then we'll put you in the water and let God do the rest. He'll take away your sins, and when you come up, you're a new creature in Christ, and you will be a part of the ecclesia of God, the body of Christ. And if you're here and you know you haven't been trusting in the source, your prayer life hasn't been right, you haven't been preparing, studying, and so therefore you haven't been participating in the kind of life that you should as a child of God, we want to give you that opportunity too. As we stand, and Brother Eidelberg lead us in a song.
Somebody's knocking at your door. He's knocking at your door. He can save you. Somebody's knocking at your door. Oh, sinner, why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door. Jesus, somebody's knocking at your door. Answer, Jesus, somebody's knocking at your door.